So the state has not finished vaccinating everyone eligible under phase 1A, which was healthcare professionals, nursing home residents and staff, and first responders like EMS. So why move to phase 1B?
Yeah, so we always knew that we would be overlapping phases. What was really important is that we provide opportunities for those in one phase to get vaccinated, and but when we're able to move on to the next phase. So we started December 15th. Hospitals got the vaccine and began vaccinating staff. And, you know, since that time, there have been multiple different opportunities for phase 1A folks in the state to get vaccinated, including a number of large vaccination events. I should also mention that important to 1A is long-term care. This is a federal program called the Federal Pharmacy Program, where they're going to each long-term care facility in our state and vaccinating staff and residents. So that's still underway. But, you know, now we are more than ready to protect our most vulnerable population, those over age 65 in the state. So really thrilled that we moved to 1B.
So Governor Carney has admitted that phase 1A distribution didn't really go as quickly as possible. That was mostly through partners, right? Like the hospitals. Can you walk me through how those partnerships for the distribution worked and why it didn't move as fast as it could have?
Yeah, I think there were a number of complicating aspects to this. I mean, one is just the timing. This all happened right before the holidays. And, you know, many healthcare providers were really excited to get vaccine, but then there were a lot of folks who were like, I don't know that I want to get this vaccine before the holidays. And so we saw more vaccine hesitancy than I think we would have seen if it wasn't right before the holidays. So although that picked up after the holidays, you know, I mean, not everyone agreed to be vaccinated in the through the hospital system.
So I guess one of my questions is about the way that the phases overlap. How will sort of the prioritization work in terms of 1A versus 1B? And then looking ahead to 1C, is there a chance that, for example, you know, a 60-year-old who has a bunch of underlying conditions could receive the vaccine before a healthy 70-year-old?
Yeah, so 1A still has an opportunity to get vaccinated, but now that we've moved on, it may be harder for them to get vaccinated. The focus right now is 1B, and especially those who are 65 and older. So we're prioritizing even within the phases. Right now, we really want to get as much vaccine available to those who are 65 and older, simply because we want to save lives and we want to prevent hospitalizations. This is our focus. There's also essential workforce, a frontline workforce who are in 1B. We'll be slowly rolling that out. I don't want to say that's less of a priority, but again, we are really focused on saving lives right now as much as we can. We know that for those who are under 65 with chronic conditions, it's really hard to wait. But, you know, we have a lot of people in this phase 1B group, over 200,000 people, which is for our population, a fifth of the population in the state of Delaware. So it is going to take us a little bit of time to get through this phase. We still have extremely limited vaccine supply. And I know that that's really hard for folks in the 1C group, especially those with chronic underlying conditions. But we ask them to do what's so difficult and be patient until we have enough vaccine to move on to that phase. We really want to make sure that all folks over 65 have an opportunity for a vaccine before we move over into 1C.
For those eligible in phase 1B because of their profession, and this includes teachers, childcare workers, food manufacturers like poultry workers, they'll be receiving it either through their employer directly or through pharmacy vouchers. Is that right? So is it basically first come, first serve within that group?
First, we really want people to look to their employer to give them guidance as far as when and where and how they get their vaccine. So you can't just go to a pharmacy that's providing vaccines right now for 65 and up, which is what we've asked them to focus on, and say, hey, I'm a teacher. I need my vaccine right now. DOE, Department of Education, is done a really great job of coordinating an approach to work with pharmacy partners and others to get vaccine out to their workforce. But again, even within that group, it's important to prioritize. So first focusing on teachers and school staff who are 65 and older, and focus on, for example, special education teachers, where oftentimes their students aren't good mask wearers. Child care providers would be another example, where many will get a voucher. It's unlikely that we'll be doing a lot of on-site vaccination, that partners will go on-site to vaccinate, since a lot of child care sites are small. So the voucher program works well for them. But like poultry plants, as a very different example, they have employee health right there on site, and they can set up to do their own vaccination for their employees. So they'll be taking a very different approach. And that's why, you know, we've been working for months now with different employers on what's the best approach for them. But again, I'll emphasize that'll be rolling out slowly based on vaccine supply.
Mm-hmm. So obviously the logistics of distributing this are not at all easy. The state is moving to an appointment-based system for those 65 and over, prioritized by age and underlying conditions. People will get invitations and they'll have to respond. What are you going to do to deal with no-shows? There's obviously a pressure to administer every dose you've thawed and allocated for an event. Last weekend during the drive-thrus, we did see some cases where like impromptu vaccinations outside the eligible groups. Do you expect that to happen again?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question. I mean, first, we're really excited to launch this registration system today. We don't want people waiting. We don't want people showing up at 6 a.m. for, you know, a 10 o'clock appointment. You know, this is really going to help organize the approach and make sure that we match, you know, the right amount of doses to the right amount of people who will come every day. In future, for future events, we know last weekend was a little bit of an anomaly, but moving forward, people will be required to have registered for these events. So we don't want people showing up to get vaccinated who have not been registered for those events. So that will be a change. We really are maximizing the number of people that we can get through each time, recognizing that there may be some no-shows. Over the coming weeks, that landscape is going to change. I mean, already now, a number of healthcare providers have vaccine, and although it's limited amounts, they're reaching out to their highest risk patients and asking them to come in. Pharmacies, we're going to see a growing number of our pharmacies, our pharmacy stores with vaccine and offering appointments for folks 65 and up. And there'll be other vaccination events, not just the DPH vaccination events. So as the landscape grows and more opportunities are available, you know, we're telling people, take the first opportunity you have, and that will likely increase some of our no-shows. So we'll just adjust for that as we move forward.
So you mentioned that Delaware has a limited supply right now, and currently there's not nearly enough to cover that 200,000 1B population. So can you talk to me a little bit about what the flow of doses to Delaware looks like right now? Do you expect that to change under a Biden administration? Do you see it as enough right now? And I guess what's the plan to get enough going forward?
That's a great question. And we often don't know. Today, we'll receive the numbers for what we'll receive next week. So we don't know from week to week what we're going to be receiving, but it's relatively small amounts. I mean, maybe around 12 to 14,000 doses. So it's not a lot. We are really eager to get more doses. I'm not sure anyone has a full sense of what the manufacturing supply situation looks like. I mean, we were we were told by the Trump administration last week that the supply looks good, but you know, our numbers certainly aren't reflecting that. We were told by the Trump administration last week that we would be receiving a lot of second doses, and that also is not coming to fruition. So there's just a lot of unknowns that have made us need to be flexible, really not not being able to predict how much is coming here, and then how do we organize our events and distribution accordingly.
Mm-hmm. The governor mentioned that demonstrating the ability to move doses will hopefully increase the number that Delaware is allocated. Can you talk a bit about how that's determined, and is that something you guys know for sure, or is that just a hope?
Yeah, so that's what was announced by the Trump administration last week. We don't know what that looks like. I had a conversation with General Perna, who is the key for the Operation Warp Speed last week, and he said that they don't really know what this is going to look like, but states who aren't doing well could be penalized. We're not in that category of states that aren't doing well, but nonetheless, it's important to us to, you know, get every dose into Delawareans as fast as we can, and we certainly would not ever want to be, you know, penalized for not moving fast enough.
Got it. Both of the vaccines that the state's distributing require a second shot a few weeks after the first. The state has changed the policy in terms of holding back enough doses. Obviously, the guidance around that has changed too. So I know the state plans to send reminders about when you need to get your second shot, but how do people who are getting vaccinated in the next few weeks make sure that they're going to get that? And how can you guys kind of guarantee that there will be enough at that point?
Yeah, so first of all, this is another reason why we really like this new registration system. Everybody has to have an email address in this system, which it's one of the easiest ways to remind people about when their second dose should be. You know, just remind them, hey, you got the Moderna or you got the Pfizer. So what we're telling people is, let's say you got the Moderna, you know, 28 days after your first dose, you want to make sure that you set up an appointment for your second dose. You know, by the time a lot of these folks are ready for their second dose, there will be more options for them, whether it's pharmacy, healthcare provider, or these mass clinics, so that they can choose. As far as making sure that there is enough vaccine, I mean, that's going to be a tough balance to strike, but we can control how many. For example, in these vaccination events, we can control how many are for first dose and for second dose. So that should help. But we also do want to make sure people know, you know, you don't have to get it 28 days after your first dose. You can get it, you know, 45 days, and it's still okay. You want to get it as close to your first dose or to 28 days after your first dose as possible. But if it's a little bit challenging to find it, we don't want people to panic. We will make sure that everybody gets their second rounds.
Dr. Carol Rattay, Director of the Division of Public Health, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.